Well, good morning, everyone. It's time to start our worship service, if it's convenient for you. And hello, everyone on the other side, into the gym, not the other, the gym, the other side of the building. Just make sure I got that straight there. You never know. All right, stand, if it's convenient for you. Days of Elijah.
Thank you for being here today, and one thing I might just put you in mind of, that the 6th of September, we're going to try to kick off Sunday school. We'll have a council meeting on the Wednesday prior to that to kind of see where we're at, make sure we're all on the same page, but that's our plan, and that'll be at our regular time at 9 o'clock, and we've We've made provisions to be spaced out in the right places, and so we'd like for you to come, like for you to be a part of that, trying to get back on track with the things that we're doing, and keep folks lifted up in prayer that are not here, and keep things rolling. So be back tonight at 6 o'clock for regular Sunday evening service, and Wednesday night we'll be having an adult Bible study in here. We're studying the book of Acts and revival, and so we invite you to come to that. We will have a children's program going on at that time for folks that have kids. I'm doing a lot of you can tell when I'm reaching for it, I'm saying a great deal. So, without saying anymore, let me lead us in a word of prayer. Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. Pray for those of our congregation that are sick. But Lord, we pray for those all over our nation, all over the world that are suffering. We pray for your hand to be on them, especially for our folks that are in the nursing homes where there's they cannot be visited. I pray for them, those that are in the hospitals. We lift up those health workers that are taking care of them. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would take charge of this service. Lord, if we're just here to be together, it's a waste. But we've come here to worship you, to lift up your name. Lord, we pray that Satan would be bound, Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. Pray, Lord, that you'd visit our midst, speak to our hearts, draw us to yourself, have your way in our lives. If there's one person here today that does not know you, Savior, or under the sound of my voice, that they'd be saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Stand up. Thank you. shake before you, the demons run and flee. At the mention of the name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. Great I am. Great I am. Hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty. The great I am. Who is worthy? Well, none beside. It's a great eye. Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me, well, that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far. Perfect in all of your ways. Song. You know, if anybody has a special they would like to do, all you need to do is come up to me and I'll get you in. I love hearing other people sing other than me, so I love hearing you all sing. So that's why one of these ears is out, so I can hear you sing. Anyway, God put this song that it's been years since I've sang this song, but God's put it on my heart for some reason. Hadn't thought about this song, and all of a sudden it popped in my head. I didn't hear it on the radio. It just something, but it's just a reminder is that He is the source of life, and that no other name but Jesus can we be saved, and there's no reason to follow anything but anyone but Jesus. This song is called Rescue. Can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. I will follow you. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. Lord, I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name. I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. I will follow you. Sing with me. This world has nothing for me. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I'm going to follow you. This world has nothing for me. I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. Lord, come and capture me with grace. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. I will follow you.
If you're a part of Children's Church, you can take charge of the troops right now. Thank you for being here. I don't get to see the folks over in the gym, but they tell me there's folks over there, some riffraff, but for the most part, they're pretty good people, I think. They can't respond, so we can say anything we want to about them. But it's good to have you guys over there, too, and thank you for being here and being a part of this service. One of the things in my Christian walk that I have dealt with for years is revival, desiring that myself personally, desiring it for the church that I pastor. It came to be known as a series of meetings, which that's not revival at all unless revival comes. I've seen a couple signs along the road, revival, and hope that it was true that revival came. So what would it mean for you personally to have a revival in your own life, to be revived, to be to come to a place of fresh water, fresh anointing from the Lord? How would your life and my life change if revival came to us? Now, through the years and through at least some different denominations, there's been talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next few days is what would take place there. So I hope you'll be here for those services. I hope that you'll be back tonight and also Wednesday night as we talk about revival and as we talk about the book of Acts and what took place. So if you could measure one of the greatest revivals in all of history, I think this would probably be it. Some folks would scale the leading of the children of Israel out of bondage, as Moses did, to a great revival. And I suppose that would categorize in that category. I've just recently been reading about Moses meeting God with the burning bush, and some authors talk about that it's a turning point. Of course, in Moses' life, he spent 40 years living in Pharaoh's house, being raised by Pharaoh and educated by Pharaoh. He killed an Egyptian, fled, married Jethro's daughter. He produced two children. 40 years he herded sheep. And then he saw a bush on fire that was not consumed. And he said, I'll step aside and see this thing. This is something that's burning and it's not consumed. And it was out of that burning bush that God spoke to him. And his rod was turned into the rod of God. So what I seek in my own life, and I wish that I could light a fire in each one of you, that you would seek in your own life that your rod would be turned into the rod of God. That you are using, that is protection for you, that is security for you, that would be turned into the rod of God. And in my own life, that would happen, and to see the change that would take place. There's one verse in the book of Acts that I want us to take apart today and look at, and it is Acts 1:8, and if you'd find that in your Bible and turn to that, let's stand together, and I'm going to read it as you follow along. Now, my Bible is King James. It's a red letter edition. The red letters means these are the words of Christ. And they are very important. All the Bible, I believe, is the inspired Word of God. Every bit of it. Someone said even the dot and the tittle are inspired. Every bit of it, every bit of the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. But this in particular is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples, he's speaking to us. And he's told them that they were to wait until they received the anointing of the Spirit before they went out to witness. Now, one thing that you and I need to understand, we're going to talk about this even more tonight and as we deal with the book of Acts, that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into you, comes into your heart. We sing that song, Let Jesus Come Into My Heart. Well, Jesus is in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I have to go away so the Comforter will come, another just like me. Let me read it, and then I'll let you sit down for a bit. But you shall receive power, dunamis, supernatural power. If we could just get that in our mind. Not just power, supernatural power. And you shall receive supernatural power. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Do you know this where we get our word martyr? Is from this word witness. Something to give your life for. Something that is the truth that you would give your life for. Witnesses unto me. And then he mentions three different places. Both in Jerusalem, the place where you are right now. Judea, the region around about where you are. And Samaria, that place that you would not normally go as a Jew or as a Christian. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. I should have said four places. That uttermost part is also, you may be seated.
Now, I certainly won't hold it against you for you to disagree with me about what I'm going to teach today and for the next several weeks. But come to me if you'd like to talk about that, or if you disagree with what I have to say and you'd like to talk about that, that would be fine for you to come and see me or call me or something, and we talk about it. Brother Lyle used to say you always have the right to be wrong. So I'd just be glad for you to share anything with me. Three things that I believe that happens to an individual with the filling of the Spirit. Now let me clarify something here. I believe that anytime a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes in to them. They have the Holy Spirit. They have all of Him. This is what I think makes the difference. He may not have all of us. He may not have all of us. I think that it's up to us to surrender ourselves to Him. I think it's up to me to surrender my bank account to Him. I think that it's up to me to surrender my time to Him. I think it's up to me to surrender my Bible study, to surrender my leisure time, to surrender everything that I'm doing, my family, my position, my job, whatever it might be, anything that I own, or I think I own. You don't really. But anything that you think that you own, I think that it's up to me to surrender that to Him. And so I think it's not a matter of whether or not you have all of the Holy Spirit, because I think you have all of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. It's a matter of whether or not He has all of you. Now, the outcome may seem the same, but it is not a thing of, well, I've decided that I'll come on this person, I won't come on this person over here. I think the gifts, and we're going to learn a little more about that later, that the gifts vary with the individual. But the fact that the Holy Spirit, you have all of Him, you have everything that you need for God to fully use you. You don't need anything else. You got everything you need. I have everything that I need. It's just a matter of my surrender to Him. Now, this is what I think happens when we get revival, when we get the filling of the Spirit of God. First of all, I think it brings forth a transformed life. Secondly, I think it brings forth a transformed ministry. What we are doing, how God uses that. You know, it's one thing to just be going through the motions. It's totally something else whenever God has His hand on that. And when He does, lives are transformed. Not just our life, but the lives of those people around us are transformed. There's a transformed morality when the Holy Spirit is full in our life. Look with me at Acts 2 and verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You know what that means? Do you know what that word common means? Everything that was yours is mine, and everything that is mine is yours. They had all things common. People, they weren't people with need, because people were meeting those needs. There wasn't this selfish holding on to things, but a freedom of giving of ourselves, and not just ourselves, our property, our wealth, our food, our clothing. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. It's getting deeper, right? It's getting deeper. When, how long has it been since you saw a need of a brother and you didn't have that need and you decided, I've got fingers pointing back here, you understand. I'm saying you, but I mean us. How long has it been since you saw a brother or sister in need and you didn't have the fortitude to take care of them to meet that need? So you decided to sell something that you had in order to meet the need of that brother. You'd say, Brother Lanny, that's foolishness, that's crazy. What does that say? What does this say? What does the book say? It said that they sold their possessions and goods to meet the needs of those around them. It causes us to look at life totally different. Look at verse 46. And they continued every few days. They continued once a week on Sunday morning. Now, that's not what it says, is it? Are you guys following me? I don't hear any disturbance or... No, that's not what it says. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And then it goes on and talks about praising the Lord. Turn over to chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Did you catch it? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God. Look at that. What does that say? With boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power, supernatural power, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. You know the rest of that story. One of the things that the Bible talks about that was on the people in this great revival, when the Holy Spirit had permeated those individuals, when the Holy Spirit had filled them and they were on fire from God, they did supernatural things and they did things that were not natural. It was unnatural. Their affection was love, and they loved one another. And here the Bible says, and great grace was upon them. Great grace was upon them. What is grace? Now, most of us, and I do, when someone asks me the meaning of grace, and we've been teaching Noah the meaning of grace from the time he arrived. Grace is unmerited favor, right? It's that we receive that we do not deserve. There's another element to grace that you and I need to grab hold of, And it is that part of grace that picks up the heavy end of the load. When God gives you grace to bear something, a trouble, a hardship, a heartache, a heartbreak, when God gives you grace to bear something, it picks up the heavy end of the load. So it doesn't mean that you don't bear it. If you lose a loved one, you're still heartbroken. If your mother passes or your dad passes or your sister or brother or whatever, you're still heartbroken. But God gives you the grace that He picks up the heavy end of that load to help you bear that load. Great grace was upon them all. So when revival comes in our life, revival comes in our church, great grace is part of that, that God picks up the heavy end of the load. He changes people's minds about their possessions, about all that they have. Someone was telling me a story a while back about a man had an old barn in his field, built back in the 1800s. A storm came along and took the top off that barn and laid it over in the field, and it was just a wreck, and it was raining on it. Of course, it was running, and a lot of people tried to buy it, and the person who owned it would not sell it, because he was afraid that if he sold it to someone and they got hurt moving it, that they might sue him. So, did he own it or did it own him? He couldn't do what he wanted to with it because it owned him. He was so afraid of losing his possessions that he couldn't do anything with it. There is this place that God brings us to where the possessions don't own us, but we own them, and we can freely give them, freely share with them with folks that have a need. Look with me over at Matthew's Gospel, the 3rd chapter. Matthew 3, and look at verse 11. Now, John the Baptist is speaking here. I think it'd do us good to do a study on John the Baptist. When Jesus said they're not any greater born among women, I think it'd do us good to look at him. But let's look at this verse, verse 11, where he speaks. And he was saying to those that were coming to be baptized, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Who is it that was coming after him? Jesus. The one that is coming after me, he says, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The word baptism is in the original was baptizo, and it literally means to plunge something down into something else. So what we do when we baptize is that we plunge under the water. We give these folks a watery burial. It's a watery grave. And so in order to baptize someone, you have to immerse them in water. They have to go under the water. That's real baptism. That's immersion baptism. You would never bury someone and sprinkle a little dirt over them. We put them, we bury them down in the ground. So when we baptize, we baptize into a watery grave, buried with him by baptism. So we bury that one, and so they come, they become completely engulfed in the water, totally, totally covered in the water. Do you get this picture that John the Baptist is painting here? I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that is mightier than me, who I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. But there is something going to happen. You're going to be immersed in something called the Spirit, where you are totally consumed, you are totally covered, you are totally in it, and it in you. Totally. And with fire. And I believe that he's making a reference of, well, I think to three different things. One is cleansing, and fire cleanses. Also power, that there's great power in that. The baptism of the Spirit is primarily an energizing process. It energizes us to do the work that God has called us to do. But there comes about in these individuals, in us, and in the church body, this, a revealing, transparency. We really become who God meant for us to be through the power of the Spirit. We become transparent. We're no longer putting on a show. It's really us. Is it you? It's really me. It's what God intended for me. It's not the old Lanny, it's the new Lanny, the transformed, the forgiven. I guess I'm a little slow. But I pick up things in the songs that I never saw before sometimes when we sing them. We were singing a while ago, "You're a good, good Father." That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Now listen. "And I am loved by you." Are you catching it? Did you catch hold of it? "I am loved by you." And what's the next phrase of that song? "It's who I am." Woo! That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm loved by him. I'm loved by him. He loves me. He's a good, good God. He's my Father, and he loves me beyond anything that I can possibly imagine. I'll tell you, I loved our kids. I love our grandkids. I love my wife. You know, I could hardly wait until our kids would love back. I mean, I remember that being one of the things that I wanted so bad, was for them to get old enough to start hugging back. I wanted them to hug me. I remember one of them having a runny nose and coming to me and wanted to kiss me. And I took it snot and all. But you know what? As much as I love those girls and love my grandkids and love my wife, there's no comparison to how God loves me. Can you comprehend that? I can't comprehend it. I am loved by him. I'm loved by him. I am loved by him. He's a good, good Father. When we get revival, when we really let the Holy Spirit have all of us, there comes a refining in our life, a consuming of our life, and also an illumination of Him. When you looked in the mirror, who do you see? See you? Yeah. What about looking in the mirror and seeing Him? When things begin to happen in your life and you think, I should be thinking this way or doing this way, but I'm doing what's right. I'm real surprised at myself that I'm doing what's right. I'm looking in the mirror and seeing Him. Let's get back up to Acts 1:8 just for a little bit. What the filling does. What the baptism does. It imparts power. In two ways here, he talks about it. One is to witness, to share the gospel. I had someone to tell me this week that they hadn't been accustomed to sharing their faith, but they were sharing their faith and they were surprised at themselves. That's great. That's great. That's good news. Witnessing is one beggar telling another beggar where he got bread at. Where she got bred at, how you got saved, how the Lord made a difference in your life. Rather than telling folks, this is what you ought to do, this is what I did. This is what I did. This is where the change came in my life. Not only does He give us power to witness, He gives us power to serve. And I want to hit this. I think I'm going to save that. We're going to take off on 1 Corinthians 12 tonight and move on from that. Mike, will you come and help us? You pray that the Lord would direct me as we plow into this. I want to call it new ground. As we seek revival in our own lives, as I seek revival, and as you seek revival. I'm praying that we get a desire for it. We want it. We'd want it in our lives. No matter our age, no matter what's going on in our life. Whether you're in the gym or in this auditorium or you're listening to us on a CD or through your computer, I want to ask you a very personal question. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you've invited Jesus into your heart to be your Savior? You know, I realize that saying the words of a prayer is not what saves a person. It's the condition of their heart. When they make a volitional decision, when you make a decision yourself that you're going to follow Jesus, if Jesus were to come through the back doors of our church today and He would just stop at each pew each place where someone is and say, will you follow me? Would you be the first one up and say, I'm right there with you. I'm following you. I'm going to do whatever you say. I'm going to follow you. And as he made his way to the front, would every person in this building be willing to say, I will follow you no matter what. I'm going to follow you. I don't know what your relationship with Jesus is. You're the only one that knows that. But your first step is to receive him as your Savior. So I want to pray a prayer and ask you to follow me in this prayer if you're not a Christian. And those of you that are Christians, would you pray for those that are not Christians yet? Would you say, Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior right now. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, would you come and talk to me about it? I'm going to be here for just a little bit. Or would you call me on the phone? Or would you make contact with us? Let us know that you prayed that prayer and received the Lord. It's been amazing the number that have done that. I'm just so excited that folks, you don't have to be having a regular service for people to be saved. I saw a sign on a church going to Fayetteville the other day, and it said regular Baptist. And I thought, boy, that's not us. We're not regular for sure. If God's dealt with your heart to become a part of this fellowship or some other commitment in your life that you need to make, well, I hope you'll come and talk to me about that after the service or during the service. Mike's going to sing a song. And when Mike finishes the song, that'll conclude our service. Let's stand together.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless, Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before. Bless, redeem.